News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, you may hear the ads playing once in a while for ZLA Solutions. Listen, I know those folks personally, too. I love it when I'm able to do an ad for people that I know personally. And ZLA Solutions, man, those folks are wearing it out right now when it comes to getting people back to work. So if you're looking for a job, you can go check out their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over Alabama, with good pay, benefits, many of them. So check it out, ZLAUSA.com. But it goes one step further. If you are looking as an employer for employees to fill out the ranks of your workforce, they've got them. They can help you out. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. At ZLAUSA.com, it's where you get started. I'm just telling you, folks, they are good at what they do. And they like to say, by the way, ZLA Solutions, we don't make it. We just make it better. And they do. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Copper, did you have a caller a minute ago? What just happened? Was something I need to know? We got somebody had a comment?
No, it was a bad connection. So I let him go.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully he'll call back in. But we're going to switch gears here in a minute. Hey, Copper, I got to tell you this, though. Kind of cool. So you heard Chris May a moment ago on the show.
Yeah.
He was talking about giving money to his organization, mercieshope.org.
That's right.
I just got a text from somebody who heard Chris, and they went and immediately gave $50 to Mercy's Hope.
Nice.
Online and texted to make sure I knew that. So I thought that was very cool. Very cool. What an audience, man.
Indeed.
we got good people out there. Hey, listen, folks, if you want to call in, we got a few minutes for the top of the hour, 866-494-9866. Your perspective on Ukraine, your perspective on things that Casey Wardinsky or Chris May said, love to hear it. So, yeah, 866-494-9866, 5 minutes to the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, we'll take a news break, we'll come back, and I'm going to switch gears. Got to. I mean, I could talk about Ukraine all day long, but the point is, in the next part of the Triple Dipper, is there are other things happening, and I've got to make sure I cover down on some of that. So at top of the hour, we're going to switch gears on the Triple Dipper, and my whole next section is going to be called Flying Under the Radar, because there are stories out there that are literally just not able to be reported because the amazing things happening in Ukraine are happening by the minute. So the 24/7 news cycle is just jammed up right now with the story of our decade, which is the war in Ukraine. That not to say that there aren't other stories out there, and there are. So we're going to be covering down on some of those when we get back. Hey, let me just go back to a story that I had just touched on before we had Chris May come on. There's a story out from All Israel News. And I don't know if any of y'all have read any books by Joel Rosenberg. Copper, you read any Joel Rosenberg stuff?
Nope, I don't think so.
He's just very cool. Joel Rosenberg is a he's Jewish by birth, but he's a Christian, and he has some great writings. But anyway, all that to say, in a story on All Israel News, he did an interview with one of Ukraine's diplomats, and this particular diplomat even said that for a period of time, he had been very critical of President Zelensky, and he says, maybe I'll be critical once again. But he went on to say, now I need to say he's doing a great job, and I'm totally impressed by his actions. This particular interview was very interesting, talking about the sense that God was doing something that the people could not have even expected. The ability for what Chris May described as sort of an awakening sense of hope, like one day it was a spare, and the next day it's like the whole nation just kind of went, huh, and they just got in it. And literally there are more people are coming back across the border into Ukraine than there are going out. Now, there's still a high number of refugees, but some of those refugees are coming home. Well, he says in here in the interview, this particular diplomat says that he went to bed, Ambassador Alexander Sherba, he went to bed believing that his city of Kyiv was about to be gone. Kyiv, if you pronounce it the Ukrainian method. He says, Ukraine made it through the night without losing a single city. He said, Russians are demoralized. They keep sending their saboteurs and armored vehicles and cruise missiles. They destroy our infrastructure, but they cannot destroy our spirit. This morning, the day of the interview, he said, I am more optimistic than at any point in the last couple of weeks. And then, even though he's talking about God, he said, we give them hell. So there's that. I got about a minute and a half, and I see Kirby from Harvest is on. Let me grab that real quick. Hey, Kirby, Phil Williams on right side. I got about a minute. What's on your mind, man?
I just wanted to read some scriptures that may lend some credence to what's happening in this
world. You go right ahead. Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. The Lord strong and mighty.
The Lord is strong and mighty. He is good every day, isn't he?
Yes, amen to that.
All right, man. Kirby, appreciate you as always, brother. We're headed to a break. That's a great way to go out. Who is this King of Glory? Yeah, well, you know who he is. He's the Lord of the Angel Armies. Show up, God. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Coming back after the top of the hour news, we're going to go ahead and switch gears. There's so much more I could talk about, but I got to tell you about other things that are happening in the world. You may want to know about them. We'll be right back.
Live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. With guests and commentary, we just spent the last 2 hours, really, of a three-hour show talking about number one on the Triple Dipper, which was Ukraine at the next level. Well, I gotta switch gears, all right? We got to move on to some other things because, why? Because they're happening. What, you know, it's amazing. If you watch the news right now, there is only one thing in the news cycle, and that is the war in Ukraine. And I don't say that in some, you know, diminishing type way. That's not saying that there's not a story, because it certainly is. It's the story of our decade. Just this, number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it flying under the radar, because while all that is grabbing the headlines and the commentary and the punditry, the reality is there's other stuff happening. And I want to make sure you know what's going on out there. So number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling this flying under the radar. Here's the very first one. Let me just bring this to your attention. Just in time for the State of the Union address this week, the Centers for Disease Control has now altered its key measure that influences mask mandates. Are you kidding me with this? So, yeah, you know, we've been asking for how long? 2 years? For the CDC to tell us why they use the metrics they do to determine whether or not certain locales around the nation are considered high risk for COVID. Well, get this. They didn't just find that things are better. They changed the measuring stick this week. Story here from the Epoch Times. The CDC on February 25th drastically changed a key measure that is used by officials across the country to determine whether or not to require mask wearing. The federal agency now says that nearly three-quarters of Americans do not need to wear masks because they live in areas with low or medium community risk. So here's the thing. Just so you know, nothing changed about COVID. It only changed by the way they measure COVID. Oh, they moved the goalposts. Yes, they did. Here's the deal. The previous measure for transmission has been unchanged since 2020, right? According to the article, they would count a county as having a substantial risk of COVID-19 transmission if there were as few as 50 new cases per 100,000 people in the past 70 days. 50. Or the percentage of positive tests was at least 8% in the same time frame. Okay. Well, under the new scheme, they went from having 95% of the country on February 25th, that's just 3 days ago, labeled as substantial or high risk, to suddenly dropping to 37% overnight. What? They went from 95% of the country labeled high risk to 37% overnight because they changed the metric by which they will determine. That's just unbelievable. Just in time, by the way, for President Biden to be able to go give his State of the Union speech, and he'll probably say, and under my administration, we have beat COVID down. Keep in mind, he didn't do a thing to beat it down. If anything, it may be burning itself out, but nonetheless, what's really happening is they're changing the metrics by which they've been measuring it. Now, I'm fine with them changing the metric. Just don't try and pretend that they beat that. Okay, here's another story, though, segueing off of that. You know, I'll be honest with you. I am real leery, super leery. I'm like, here, leery is a good enough word. But I am just like almost to the point of conspiracy theorist leery of the idea of a national vaccine passport for any reason. All right. Now, here's a story off of Forbes. Headline, a national vaccine pass has quietly rolled out and red states are getting on board. Excuse me? Yeah. So the storyline starts with this from Forbes. Even as Omicron variant loosens its grip on the world, destinations continue to require travelers to show proof of vaccination. And increasingly, a paper CDC vaccination card is not cutting it. Oh, okay. Why? Because I said on this show a long time ago that you're going to start seeing a cottage industry of counterfeit CDC cards. We knew they were. And so one of the ways they're going to do that is they're going to come out with the usual, we've got a better way to do this. And then soon it's going to be, well, not just a card. We got to find a way to brand the person. I mean, the little chip in your skin, who knows? And by the way, don't laugh. I carried a cat card for the military for years. You know how much information is on that little bitty sliver of a chip? How about this? If your dog gets lost, how do some people find it? Because they have a chip under the dog's skin and they can tell where the dog is from, who to return it to, and its health conditions. All right. Enough of my that. Here we go. While the United States government has not issued a federal digital vaccine pass, a national standard has nevertheless emerged. To date, 21 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico offer accessibility to what is known as the SMART, that's all caps, the SMART Health Card. It's a verifiable digital proof of vaccination developed through the Vaccination Credential Initiative, which is a global coalition of public and private stakeholders, including companies like Microsoft, Salesforce, Oracle, the Mayo Clinic, and you guessed. Okay. And very soon it says at least 4 more states are going to be rolling out smart health cards. So what we're seeing here, folks, is, by the way, is what I've been saying on the show for a while now, is they're going to come out with a means to make you show your papers. It's going to wind up being something digital. It's going to wind up being something that is harder to, copy or counterfeit. And it's going to be something that sooner or later you're going to be required to have. And they go on. The article at first I thought was going to be this article talking about, you know, watch out, folks. No, this article is all for it. Yeah, Forbes, go figure. But nonetheless, oh, they're all about it. Indoor cultural attractions and performance venues love this. This gives us a chance to be able to verify people at the door. You know, it also talks about what it could do for travel. And it already paints the picture of having a vaccine verification system in place prepares the U.S. for the next coronavirus variant, as well as the inevitability of a future pandemic. We don't necessarily have the inevitability. I mean, sure, there could be one. Absolutely. How long has it been since the Spanish flu? Oh, that was the turn of the last century. Changing gears, still in the triple dipper, flying under the radar. I think it's fair to note that as we hear the State of the Union address coming up on Thursday, it's going to be roses and unicorns and sunshine and pixie dust. But here's a story off Breitbart that reminds us of what you and I already know as we go to the grocery store, as we try to buy a car, as we look at things that, you know, we need, like the TV goes out, you want to replace your TV. Well, Bidenflation has pushed durable goods up the most it's ever been in 47 years. Storyline off Breitbart dated 3 days ago. The prices of big-ticket consumer goods rose over the past 12 months at a pace not seen in nearly 50 years, as according to data from the Commerce Department. Compared with the prior January as 2021, prices of durable goods were up 11.6%. That's the largest annual increase since 1975. Non-durable goods went up 7.2%. Services went up an average of 4.6%. Bidenflation is having its way right now. Something else super important for y'all to know. Maybe you're tracking, maybe you're not. Flying under the radar right now is the fact that President Biden has nominated somebody to replace Justice Stephen Breyer on the Supreme Court of the United States. NationalReview.com, dated yesterday. Joe Biden has nominated Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court, and it goes on to say in this article that Jackson should not be confirmed, but she probably will be. And I agree, she probably will be. She's obviously well qualified. The interesting thing is he chose her first on race, second on qualifications. So there are those who are already saying, well, this is not necessarily the best candidate. This is the best candidate for within a narrow pool. So, okay, she is going to be potentially the first black woman to ever serve on the Supreme Court. This author points out in National Review, but that's the opposite of extraordinary in a country that has already had a black man as president, a black woman as secretary of state, and currently has a black woman serving as vice president, and has had many other black men and women in high offices throughout both civilian and military sectors. They're going to go on to lionize her. They'll make her out to be this dynamic woman who comes from an incredible background. But the truth is, she comes from a rather privileged background. I use that word. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying. She did not come from what I would call the Justice Clarence Thomas background, where he lived in a house that didn't even have indoor plumbing until he was, you know, in elementary school. She is the child of a lawyer who also grew up to be a lawyer. Both her parents are college graduates, unlike three-fourths of the Americans in the country during her generation. She didn't grow up on the mean streets of Baltimore or Detroit. She went on to the same high school. She went to the same high school that Jeff Bezos and Surgeon General Vivek Murthy went to. She was also class president. She went on to Harvard for her undergrad and then moved to Harvard Law, where she was editor of the Law Review. So all said and done, she's extremely qualified, I would say. However, it's just frustrating to watch the president of the United States, the president of the free world, who will talk about racism ad nauseum, who chose race as the number one category in choosing someone to serve on the highest court in the land. Nonetheless, I suspect that Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is a qualified individual. There's no doubt there. But the question is, was she the best qualified individual? Since the president chose to do what you're not supposed to do, which is use race as the determining factor before you went any further. In other words, her resume came second to her race. And in my opinion, she may do a great job, who knows, but in my opinion, she's always going to have an asterisk by her name because she didn't come in with the highest of credentials. She came in with race and then highest credentials. If we had chosen somebody who was only a white man or a white woman, or an Oriental woman, or an Oriental man, you know, or basically on the fact that they were Hispanic only, that would have gone down in flames. But in the wake of the BLM riots, apparently it's okay to say, I chose the first black woman, and after I found all the black women I could find that were qualified, I then chose one of them. To me, that's putting an asterisk by her name unnecessarily. And she'll have to always be working to live that down. I wonder, too, what's going to happen the first time a case comes to the Supreme Court in which she is going to be helping to render part of the opinion, and it deals with things like affirmative action or employment discrimination. Does she have to recuse? That's a great question. All right, Copper, move us to a break. We'll come back from this break right now and keep on with number two on the Triple Dipper, things that are flying under the radar. I just covered down on four or five of them. Yeah, I mean, we got big doings. Talking about a national vaccination card, talking about the CDC changing the standards, talking about Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson being nominated to the Supreme Court. Lots of things happening. You want to call in? Call in 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, thanks to one of my new followers on Twitter who just sent me a story that literally points out that Whereas the Biden administration is claiming credit for appointing the first black woman to the Supreme Court of the United States, that Joe Biden himself, when he was a senator, helped block the first black woman to be on the U.S. Court of Civil Appeals, if I'm not, or California State of, where was it? It's a federal district court. Yeah, on the D.C. Circuit, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. That's interesting. Hey, let me jump on the phones real quick. I know I had somebody held on through the break, and I really appreciate that. Line four, Dan from Madison. Hey, Dan, Phil Williams on right side. How you doing, man?
Hello.
Hey, Dan, Phil Williams on right side. How are you?
Yes, very well. We're just coming back from a road trip. And from New Orleans. And, you know, we were, my wife and I, talking about the invasion of the Russia and Ukraine. And there's all these sanctions and everything going on. I got a question for you, and I've asked my wife the question. I want to confirm it with you. Do we export oil from Russia or anywhere overseas? Import.
Yes, we do. We import quite a bit right now. In fact, we didn't until the Biden administration because we had gotten energy independent. But we are now. Well, I want to say it's millions per day, millions of gallons or barrels per day.
Okay, so this is really cheeses me off because we got people here that lost their jobs. Open up the freaking pipeline, put people to work. You fool! You're a bozo. You need to walk away from that job and put somebody in there that's stones that shuts this evil idiot overseas, as far as I'm concerned. When you start that with the oil. Produce it here, lower our gas prices, stop all this high inflation, and be a president.
Well, Dan, don't beat around the bush, man. Tell me how you feel.
Well, that's exactly how I feel. I'm sorry. I've had enough, guy. I've had enough.
Man, I think you're speaking for a lot of people, Dan, and your points are well founded. I mean, the reality is this: the way you can choke off Putin's ability to make money on the world market is by becoming energy independent again, and you stop buying from him, and then you can become exporting. We can work out export deals with countries that are buying from Putin and give them a better rate and shut them off altogether. Next thing you know, he's sitting there with barrels of oil he can't sell.
The first day in his office, he had a stack of those folders, and you know what was in them? Yeah, executive orders. And he did that with this pipeline that we had going strong. Everybody was doing well. He did that out of spite. That is not a professional person in this country that's supposed to be our president. That's very unprofessional. It was working for our country.
Dan, your point is well taken. Thanks for holding during the break and sharing it on the air. We're running to a break again right now, but, man, you stay in the audience. You sound like a right side ruffian. Safe travels on the road. Dan from Madison. Yeah, he's got some views, but I'm pretty sure they're shared by a lot of people. All right, folks, we're going to a break. Coming right back. We'll stay on it. You want to call in, 866-494-9866. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Ukraine. Stories I've been running on the Triple Dipper under the radar. What are your thoughts on where we're headed next? 866-494-9866, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, right here on WVNN. Also streaming live every single day at rightsideradio.org. And you can podcast the show just by going to our podcasting sections on the rightsideradio.org website and join the near 30,000 other downloads of folks who are listening to the show in segments the day after. So, yeah, we got lots of options for you to hear the show, but we appreciate the fact that you do. Hey, let me jump in there, too, real quick and tell you, listen, you may have some heat and air conditioning issues, especially now that we're moving to the warmer months. Like right now, I'm sitting here in the studio. I got the door open. It is a beautiful evening outside as we get into the waning hours of the sunlight. But heating and air conditioning, it gets finicky, especially when it has to kick on for the warm weather months. You might want to call Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, they serve Huntsville, Madison, all the surrounding areas. And I always say they're like your one-stop shop for all your heat and air needs. And that's gas or electric. And they're open 6 days a week. I mean, like, you can have them out on a Saturday if something goes wrong on a Friday night. Well, they got a special right now they wanted me to make sure you knew about. They are offering a spring annual maintenance for all your systems, $69 per unit. $69 a unit. They will come out and service it and get it ready for the season. And if anything goes wrong within a year of that servicing, they'll give you a 10% discount on any of the repairs that come up thereafter. So check them out. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, an owner-operated, veteran-owned business right here in our area. Call them at 256-225-7311. That's Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, 256-225-7311. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Well, I was in number two of the Triple Dipper, and I'm going to keep on. I'm not sure we're going to get to number three. It's going to be one of those days, I can tell already. But there's so much news out there. So number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it flying under the radar because there are other stories that are happening. So making sure that you know some of this stuff because, you know, the news is rightfully focused on, you know, the major events of the war in Ukraine and what's going on with that on the international perspective. But there are stuff that's happening literally all around us, things that are going on right now. I told you a few things right before the break. The CDC is not just found that COVID is going away, they just changed the standards to make it look like it's going away. Oh, just in time for the State of the Union address. Also appears that the CDC says you don't have to wear a mask now. It's okay. You can just choose. Oh, that was great. They were advising just the opposite until last weekend. Well, what about the fact that Nancy Pelosi has even announced? This cracks me up. I mean, can you not just see right through this? By the way, we had Congressman Barry Moore on the show last, Thursday, I think. And he pointed out the fallacy of this mask mandate in the House of Congress, in the halls of Congress. Because he pointed out, if you've ever been there, they have the rotunda, the giant rotunda. And on one side is the Senate. On the other side is the is Congress. Well, on the congressional side, because Pelosi's in charge of that side, it's mask mandates. It's fines on the members if you don't comply. It's all these, you know, COVID protocols. If you walk across the rotunda, they don't have any of that on the Senate side because apparently that's a germ-free zone, I guess. I don't know. So things like that are happening. But let me switch gears on you. Here's another thing. The Freedom Convoy. Remember that? The Freedom Convoy galvanized the world with their, you know, their stand against tyranny in Canada, which I never thought I'd have to say stand against tyranny in Canada, but there it is. Well, there's still an American Freedom Convoy. And by the way, when I'm resourcing the show, I had to go search for this, all right, because I'm literally, I Googled Freedom Convoy United States, and every single major and liberal outlet is out there saying, oh, nothing to see here. It's already falling apart. It's not going to happen. No, no, no. They're all turning around and going home. No, they're not. Here's a storyline dated just 5 days ago off the Federalist that points out that no matter how peaceful the American Freedom Convoy is, our current regime in D.C. is going to demonize it. And they already are. They already are. It says, like many people who only peacefully protested the Capitol on January 6th, the truckers will be smeared as domestic terrorists by the Biden administration. It says the fate of the American trucker convoy has already been decided by Joe Biden and his allies, who, despite promises from the Freedom Convoy protesters that they will remain peaceful, are already painting them as domestic threats. This is a story out of the Federalist, by the way. D.C. officials panic, it says. Biden has every reason to embrace the thousands of blue-collar workers that he claims to support, but he won't. They're already putting up a fence around the Capitol. And by the way, I'm not sure I can fault him for that because, you know, if something did happen and they hadn't taken precautions after January 6th, I guess that would be, you know, bad on them. But just further proof, by the way, that this is not going away. This is actually happening. There's the Freedom Convoy is legit. Here's a story this weekend off of AL.com. Truck convoy leaves Alabama for D.C. to protest COVID mandates. Yeah, see? Told ya. Right here in our listening area. Situated right off exit 299 along Interstate 65 at the Dodge City Petro truck stop. Always a bustling place. But, and he says on Saturday morning, this past Saturday, that bustle stretched way out beyond the truck stop's confines and up and down Highway 69. as big rig truckers and a throng of supportive locals converged. It says the Coleman County truck stop, by the way, marked the northernmost staging area for the Freedom Convoy to D.C., I guess out of Alabama. And it says that U.S. Senate candidate Katie Britt and Tom Fredericks, who's running for House District 14, were both there giving speeches. They had, you know, a band playing on a flatbed trailer, and they headed out down I-65 to join up with other eastbound truckers on I-10, and they're going to make their way to Washington, D.C., saying that they intend to end up on the outskirts of the city in the next 48 hours. That's very cool. And that was just kicking off right here in Alabama. So the State of the Union is this Thursday. Did you know that? Did you care? Are you going to watch it? I'm curious. I'll try to watch it because, you know, it's kind of like being a sportscaster. You got to watch the game so you can report on it. I'll do what I can. I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard for me to watch him give a speech. It'd be hard for me to watch him give a speech if he wasn't president. But I'll probably watch it. But, you know, a story off of two sources that are not known for being conservative are painting this as a very difficult State of the Union. Yeah. So, story off of U.S. News. State of the Union, Biden's speech comes amid crises and setbacks. This is dated this weekend. It says the last time President Joe Biden addressed a joint session of Congress, he had said the country was ready for takeoff. But it goes on to say it's been a more turbulent flight than expected. Points out that in the gap between the two major speeches, the first one was last April, is the story of a presidency that has repeatedly needed to recalibrate its ambitions. It goes on to also say the gap between the two, he points out that Biden reached a bipartisan deal on infrastructure. After that, though, many of his proposals were jettisoned or left languishing. He followed through on his pledge to remove troops from Afghanistan, but it turned into a chaotic withdrawal and left everything just in a mess. And then, you know, it goes on to point out that Vladimir Putin has now invaded Ukraine, plunging Europe into war and hijacking Biden's foreign policy agenda. This is interesting. This guy named Michael Waldman has been a speechwriter for President Clinton. He said, these speeches go through many, many drafts, and I would bet they're starting some new drafts now. He added, 2 weeks ago, the speechwriters probably thought they knew what was in the speech, and then Vladimir Putin had other ideas. That's from U.S. News, by the way. Copper, what you got? Somebody called in but didn't want to come on the air?
Yeah, he was making a joke. He said all the freedom truckers need to do is put a Black Lives Matter sticker on the back of their trucks, and the liberals will leave them alone.
Oh, interesting caller. Yes, thank you for that. We have a sardonic wit within our right side ruffian audience, do we not?
Of course.
Of course. They see things like they see things, and sometimes they see things pretty darn clear. Pointing out, by the way, I've kind of alluded to it a couple of times, said it outright a couple of times, but it is amazing to me that the CDC chose to change its guidelines just days before the State of the Union speech. Now you watch. Let's wait and see. But I would hazard a guess, my friends. I would hazard this guess. If I was a gambling man, I'd lay money on it. The bookies in Vegas are laying odds that he's going to claim that his administration has in some way beaten down COVID because the numbers are now better and the CDC changes guidance. What do you bet? I'm not going to be a bit surprised. Yeah. I got a caller on line four. Copper, we good with that? Can I go ahead and grab that real quick for the break? I think I can. Yeah, let's do that. Line four, Kenny from Huntsville. Hey, Kenny, Phil Williams on right side. How you doing, man?
Doing good, Phil. I appreciate it. I just wanted to throw an idea out. State of the Union has become stale, traditional, and lame. The president needs to come out and speak for about 20 minutes. Then let the opposition speak for 15 in the chamber, and then they need to debate for an hour. I want to see the president on his toes. I want to see him be questioned. I want to see him have to think on his toes in front of everybody. That's what I want. Well, more parliamentary, more involved.
That's interesting. I mean, I think he has trouble keeping up with his teleprompter, much less with live questioning. I'm not sure how that would go down.
No doubt.
But But hey, but Kenny, did you see, by the way, they did that in Canada during all the discussions about the Freedom Convoy up there? They actually had Trudeau in Parliament taking questions and having to debate with the opposition. It was pretty epic.
Now, see, that to me, I mean, I don't like Trudeau, but at least he stands there. I mean, obviously he was saying a lot of stuff that I don't agree with, but at least he was standing there taking the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And trying to give it back as best he could. And yeah, I got to give him props for that. He went to the debate. You're right. Hey, Kenny, up against the break, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being in the audience. And yeah, I would love to see Biden have to debate a bit too, but it ain't going to happen. All right, folks, we're going to the last break of the day. Some of you guys already got your car keys in your hand. You can smell that drive. You're getting ready for that go-home time. Beautiful weather for a drive, but still be careful. Copper, move us to the break. When we come back from this, folks, we'll wrap it up with a little bit of more of stuff that's been flying under the radar. Yep, we will. If you want to call in, I can probably take one or two calls for the top of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right at 866-494-9866. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Time now, 4:53 p.m. on February the 28th. I got several things that just kind of popped in from people listening to the show, so I'm going to run through those here in just 1 second. But before I do that, I get a lot of feedback about people saying, man, when you read out the menu for Just Love Coffee, I'm like, wow, I got to go eat there. So here's the thing. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. This is not your average coffee shop, all right? This ain't one of those places where you go in, the barista goes, how do you want it? It's not like that at all. This is like down home, good solid people, great place to hang out, read a book, visit with your friends, use the Wi-Fi, or just pick it up to go. But it's more than coffee. Do they have coffee? Yeah, they got coffee. It's Just Love Coffee Cafe. But they've got like all the best dry roast coffees. They can fix you a steaming hot cup of light roast, medium roast, dark roast coffee, but they've also got the cappuccinos, the espressos, the lattes, and oh my gosh, the eating there. The eating there is epic eating there. So yeah, like here's one. They got a breakfast, lunch, and dinner menu. Great for snacks, good for eating anytime. How about the not so plain Jane waffle? A traditional waffle with whipped cream, a choice of strawberries, banana, peanut butter, blueberries, chocolate chips, and powdered sugar served with maple syrup. Yes, yes indeed. I just said that. Or how about the breakfast slider, a traditional waffle. They love waffles there, by the way. Stuffed with choice of bacon or sausage, egg, pepper jack, cheese, and maple syrup. Or how about the flying pig waffle? A traditional waffle stuffed with bacon, sausage, egg, and served with your choice of sausage, gravy, or maple syrup. Some of y'all are stop drooling on your desks. Just think about stopping there to eat on the way home. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison and another on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Check them out. Oh, and I got to say this. I forgot this. They've got a special. As far as I know, it's still going. If you text the word right side to 87338, text the word right side to 87338, Just Love Coffee gives you a free beverage for coming in and being on their point system at that point. Ah! How cool is that? All right. Now, two things. One is the lovely Charlene, who is politically astute and sometimes more in tune than even I am, just texted me to make sure I knew that the State of the Union address is tomorrow night. So, yeah, that's tomorrow. That is tomorrow night, according to the White House. And she actually sent me the whitehouse.gov website. There it is. Another thing here, I just got a text, and this is I'd forgotten this. Thanks to Josh for sending this to me. I'd forgotten this, but that Rashida Tlaib, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, who is probably one of the angriest, meanest-looking people I've ever seen, but Rashida Tlaib, one of the more liberal members, you know, one of the squad members in Congress, it's considered to be very out of character, but she is actually going to be doing a rebuttal to the Biden administration's or to President Biden's State of the Union address. That never happens. You always get an opposition rebuttal. You don't get a quote-unquote rebuttal from your own party. But allegedly she's doing it representing what's called the Family Workers Party. Does that sound an awful lot like communism? It does. But how weird is that? And in fact, Josh even says, not only is rebuttal from your own party crazy, but they pick one of the least likable people to do it. Yes. What a great point. So that's happening. Then on top of that, you've got a question that I got from Morgan. Thank you for this question, Morgan. Says, here's the question. If we were to cut Russia off completely, what kind of retaliation could we expect? We've seen that they don't play fair. Could that be the reason for the nuclear threats? They've shut down our pipeline through hacking. Are we playing nice for fear of retaliation? I would say that there is certainly a chess match to be played here, Morgan, with regards to Putin. It's always a guessing game. How far will he go? How far can we go? I think one of the things, though, that in the psychoanalysis of Putin as a world leader is people have to recognize he does not see things the same way we do. Culturally, he has a very different viewpoint. As some have been saying lately, his calculus has also even changed. He's a strong man. He recognizes strength. Very likely his nuclear stand-to is a posturing thing to show the world that he has a big stick and he's not afraid to spin it up. But that being said, I don't think we can underestimate anything. I would expect, though, that if we let loose with full-blown sanctions and even went so far as some people are suggesting to allow a or to help operate a no-fly zone in Ukraine, that we would see very likely at first some measure of cyber attack. Whether they would be accurate or crippling enough to you know hurt our economy, I don't know. I know he has the capability, and it's something that he has used in other places. So I think we could possibly see that. Lots to watch, folks. Lots to watch. All right. Hey, what a great show with great guests and more than anything, a great audience. We appreciate you guys more than you could possibly know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be back tomorrow, Copper and I both, 2 p.m. Listen, you stay tuned. Watch the news. Ukraine is a big deal. There's a lot of other stories flying under the radar. And coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Y'all have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.